WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to WCRI's presentation of the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos, the executive director, and each week we talk about wonderful things happening with the Newport Music Festival. Pamela, I hope everyone is listening to us on time, because they were supposed to change their clocks last night, and spring back? I forgot what they do. What's that saying? Fall ahead, spring back? I don't know. But anyway, we're hopefully you're all here at the right time, and Pamela, you're here on time.
I am here on time to welcome November. You know, what was interesting as I was doing my research is there are many very famous composers who were born in November.
Oh, we're back to the birthday thing.
We are, which I really love because it makes you think of composers perhaps that you aren't focusing on, you know, and go back and look at people. So this was really a fun week. There were two composers who stood out for me because of their individualism and because they're both Spanish composers who I don't think we feature enough. And it's Manuel de Falla and Joaquín Rodrigo. So, and their interrelation is also quite fascinating. So I was very excited about this program this evening. So Manuel de Falla was born in 1876 and lived through 1946. And he was a Spanish composer, as we mentioned, along with Albanés and Granados. He was Spain's most important musician in the first half of the century. And actually, his face appears in Spain's 100 pesetas banknote in 1970. So I am waiting for Aaron Copland or Leonard Bernstein or George Gershwin to appear on our $100 bill. What do you think?
He might have a long way.
But, I mean, it shows how revered he was.
Right. Absolutely.
So he grew up in Cadiz and lived in Catalonia for a long time and was a natural musician. And his family, by 1900, when he was just 24 years old, they moved to Madrid, the capital, and he went to the Royal Conservatory. He was an incredible pianist as well as composer, and he won lots of piano competitions. He started teaching piano because his family was very, very poor, and he basically saved his family through teaching. He won all kinds of prizes in piano competitions, although he did not win many prizes that early on in composition. So de Falla left Madrid and went to Paris in 1907, and he stayed there for 7 years. And if you think of what was happening in Europe, you know, right to the beginning of the First World War.
Right, beginning of the war.
And he met a number of composers like Maurice Ravel, Claude Debussy, as we mentioned, Albanese, and all of these impressionists. So you can imagine what it was like in Paris at that period of time. You know, just you had these famous composers sitting around a table and talking about composition. I always find it so exciting. He won an award from King Alfonso VIII of Spain, and that sort of paid for him to stay in Paris and continue to compose. After World War I began, he went back home to Madrid. He felt that it was time for him to go home. And there, he composed several of his most important pieces after the war. He then went to Granada because he was seeking peace. You know, after the war, it devastated all of Europe. And he wrote some of his biggest orchestral pieces in Granada. And then he ended up in Argentina at the end of his life. And after Francisco Franco's, you know, victory in the Spanish Civil War, they gave him a knight order and asked him to come back, but he was done. You know, the war, the devastation, the Civil War, he was really done, and he stayed in Argentina to the end of his life. So he never married. He never had any children, so he really devoted his life to his compositions. So now as a singer, you know, we know some of his biggest pieces, you know, his orchestral pieces and his opera and things like that. But there are seven songs that he actually recorded during his lifetime, and we have a recording of them. And I'm not usually a fan of historical recordings because they sound stilted, you know.
Scratchy and,
You know, and out of tune and a little warpy. But this one I think is pretty good. So I thought that we'd play it because to hear the composer playing his own music at the piano, and again, as we said, he was such an incredible pianist, to to hear that and these seven songs interpreted the way he wrote them, I think is really a unique opportunity. So these are his seven popular songs, Siete Canzones Popular, and they've been transposed for violin, for orchestras, for all kinds of things. And I think you'll hear how they're sort of miniatures of Spanish life. You know, they talk about being happy, and they talk about sadness, and they talk about a lullaby. And they've been interpreted to be sort of the phases of a woman's life in some ways. So we'll listen to those.
All right. They're all short, so we'll put them all together, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
She's Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the Newport Music Festival. I'm Mike Mano, and we're talking about November babies.
And Spanish November babies.
Spanish November babies. There you go.
So now we're going to talk about Rodrigo, who was born in November 1901 and passed away in 1999. So he had a good long life. He was, again, very much like De Falla, a Spanish composer and a virtuoso pianist. He was born in Valencia, and he completely lost his sight at the age of 3 after contracting diphtheria.
Totally blind?
Totally blind.
Wow.
But he continued to study solfege and piano and violin and harmony and composition. And even though he raised the Spanish guitar, you know, to this incredible high, which is why we have so much Spanish guitar music, he actually was not a guitarist himself. So he wrote his compositions in Braille, and somebody transposed them. So he studied in Valencia, he went to Paris, he really went all over the place, which is quite remarkable if you think of the time, right?
Sure.
It was very hard to travel and everything. So his most famous work, which many of our listeners have heard, is the Concerto de Aranjuez, which was composed in 1939 in Paris for a very specific guitarist. And I know that this piece is recognizable and such a joy that I hope we're going to be able to play the whole thing in its entirety. And again, when you think that he didn't play the guitar, he was blind, so he never saw the visuals. And yet this evokes scenes of Spain for those of us, you know, who have been there or seen photographs more than any other piece in the repertoire. It's quite remarkable. So we're going to hear the first movement and the second movement, and then I think take a short break and come right back and hear the third movement.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
So we just heard the last movement of the Concerto de Aranjuez, composed by Rodrigo. The last piece on this evening's program was written by Rodrigo as an homage to Defaya, and it's entitled Invocation to the Dance. And I thought how appropriate for the end of this program that we hear a piece by one great Spanish composer honoring another great Spanish composer who paved the way and, you know, brought in all of these folk songs and things for other people to utilize.
Great music. Thank you, Pamela. And we'll see you all next time right here with the Newport Music Festival. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.